Blog Talk Radio.
Hands up, make noise, kids down as we all rejoice. One time, kids loud, dance free, what it's all about.
Blessed souls, hands up, hands clapping, hands rejoicing, hearts rejoicing. You're now tuned into blogtalkradio.com, and we humbly suggest we are the high inner frequency of blogtalkradio.com. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 573, heart to heart from Jerusalem to the rest of the world, program presentation number 54. Blessed is our Creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the human family experience with Creator's help. It's right now March 7th, 2016. It's now 9:32 a.m., broadcasting live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA Unified Soul Actualization, which corresponds to 4:30 p.m., not a.m., p.m., in the Holy Land of Jerusalem, Israel. Program content will focus on being in discussion with international human rights activist Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock, who is with his wife of valor, Ashes Chayil, run a wonderful organization. It's internationally known now as Heart to Heart American. Our caller number is 347-838-8669. That's 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. The tags for today's program are, in fact, Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Rabbi Eliezer Goldstock, American Heart to Heart. When you help a handy, capable human being, you are testifying that you become more capable yourself. Now we just have to make sure we do not allow further music to play, although the music was wonderful. That was by the way, Ross M. Levy, who you can learn more about his music on YouTube. With that being said, the good Rabbi Doctor has not called in yet, so I'm going to start the program by, in fact, telling you a story which shows a little effort can nullify a horrible decree. And this pertains to the book we'll be reading from, the letter actually, the Book of Esther, which is really a letter. And this is concerning the pivotal point in the story of Esther and Mordechai and Haman the Rasha, that the king's sleep, Achashverosh, had been woken in the middle of the night, and he asked to see if anything had been done for the tzaddik, the righteous soul Mordechai, who actually had saved the life of Achashverosh, because two of the servants of Achashverosh had planned to poison his drink and kill him, to dispose of him. And Mordechai, who understood the language that they spoke, because he understood the 70 root languages of the world, and that was one of the reasons why he was the head of the Sanhedrin in those days, the Supreme Court of Israel. When the king had found out that Mordechai had not been rewarded for saving his life, the king's life, he summoned, pun intended, he summoned Haman, and asked him, what should the king do for someone who has done something or honored the king? And Haman, with his greedy intent, had suggested, well, dress up the person the king wants to honor in a robe and the king's horse, because Haman thought that the king wanted to honor him. Now, when the king responded, and I'm pulling from 16a in the Tractate Megillah, the king asked Haman's advice how to reward a loyal subject. So Haman said what he did, and the king responded, and everything you said to who I should honor, who has done well for me, do this to Mordechai. So Haman asked Achashverosh, who is Mordechai? Achashverosh answered him, Mordechai the Jew. Haman responded to Achashverosh, there are many Mordechais among the Jews. Achashverosh answered him, the one who sits at the king's gate. Haman said to Achashverosh, it is sufficient for him one village or one river. Achashverosh answered him, this give him two. And the last reply of Achashverosh was, do not admit anything from all that you suggested to honor the righteous Mordechai. And Haman took the garments and the horse. Some of you who've read the Megillah will recognize what I'm talking about. But this part from the oral Torah tradition is where it gets extremely interesting. He went and found the rabbi sitting before Mordechai. And there Mordechai was demonstrating the laws of Kamitza. Kamitza is one of these four essential services of the Mincha flower offering, which is when the temple was standing. The Kohen would open his hands up and put it vertically into a vessel containing the mincha, meaning that which will be offered up, bend his three middle fingers against his palm, turns his hand upward and lifts it out of the vessel. That which he now holds is the kometz, which is the only part of the mincha offered on the altar. Now when Haman came into the Beis Midrash, the place of study, and Mordechai saw him, and that Haman was coming to him with the king's horse held in his hand, he became afraid. Mordechai told his students and his chevra, his friends, study mates, get away from this wicked man, he's coming to kill me. Move away from him for you, so you would not be burned in this moment, or burned by his coal. Mordechai wrapped himself in his cloak and stood up to pray. Haman came and sat before them and waited until Mordechai finished his prayers. And Haman asked the disciples of Mordechai, what topic of study you occupied in. They answered, when the holy temple was in existence, one who pledged a mincha offering, which was not a very expensive one, would in fact bring a fistful of flour and would gain atonement through it. And this is where the insightful point I want to share with you, blessed souls, from the Gemara. Haman said, your fistful of flour has come and pushed away my 10,000 silver talents, which I was willing to pay Achashverosh to destroy the Jews. This is the interesting point, blessed souls. That 10,000 silver talents, as is explained in the rabbinical elucidators of the oral tradition, that 10,000 talents of silver was going to equal the amount of half shkalim that the Jewish men would contribute from the age of 20 to 70, corresponding to that what was given originally in the desert and onward. So Haman gave such a large amount of silver that it added up to 15 million shkalim, which is in contrast to various evaluations of the temple kikar, which was 3,000 shkalim. The point is, Haman, in his wickedness, thought that he would give the same amount that the entire Jewish male population would give from the age of 20 to 70, but he realized that an atonement can come with just a fistful of flour, not a fistful of shkalim or a fistful of dollars, as the modern statement is made or phrase is made. So I want to show you, blessed souls, that what we're doing with this program, and we're going to bring him on in one moment, Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock, is that a small effort can nullify the decrees of the Hamans of the world, the haters of humanity. And without further ado, we're going to bring in our older, brotherly, rabbinical Dr. Jew, Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock, live from Jerusalem. Good morning, Eliezer.
Good morning, and I'm here with my co-host today from Yerushalayim, Suri Goldstock.
How are you doing?
That's right. Well, you're also my co-host.
Good morning, Suri.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Suri. How are things going?
is it's good, Baruch Hashem, and it's amazing, actually.
Amazing. How was the weather in Jerusalem?
It's also awesome. It's not windy, but it's good.
Did you and Mendy run in the race yet that will hopefully get you another trip to Greece?
Not yet, but I'm thinking we're going to have in the second race again. So I'm doing the third race in 2 weeks. So I have to wait and see what happens, and then I'm going to go on the cruise. So, yeah.
You know what's going to happen?
They're still a little bit short on the finances. They haven't collected enough of their commitment for the run. They're going to go on the run, but they haven't earned their way onto the boat yet. There's a cruise that's attached to this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They run with Yafai.
Well,
and,
hopefully today
so
you.
Anybody wants to help out, they're certainly welcome to. You can go to my Facebook page or contact us. We'll give the information at the end of the program. Or you can go to Sarah Goldstock on Facebook, and there's a link there to go to Yachad. Or you can go to Yachad Israel or Yachad Yerushalayim and just type in Team Goldstock, and then you can make a donation. And all the money goes directly to Yachad, to all of their wonderful inclusion activities here in Jerusalem.
I'm thinking, Eliezer, that when Mendy and I'm certain and I'm praying that Mendy and Suri will do well in the race and you'll raise the appropriate monies and they'll do mitzvahs on one of the islands of Greece or on the mainland of Greece, because when they bring mitzvahs to Greece, they're going to bring Greece relief. But I'm bummed.
That's right. And not only that, this is their third time running and they get a medal every time they run because they do such a fantastic job. And how many people run in this race?
Thousands of people.
Yeah, this place is packed, right?
Yes.
Yerushalayim, you can't even get through the streets.
No.
Nope.
Wow.
No, I can't.
All there is people running, right? It's like a regular day of the week, only no cars and no bicycles, just people running.
And the medals that Suri and Mendy will earn are truly heavy medals. But I'm bumped.
Yeah.
But they love wearing the heavy metal around the neck, you know? They're the bling twins on marathon day, you know?
I want to go back to the what I started the program with. The Hummans of the world, the haters of humanity, put so much energy and put so much money into hating and promoting and killing and doing all sorts of chicanery, but we see just a little handful. And that's what you're asking for, basically. If everyone gives a little handful, a little Kometz offering, and everyone has their own unique measure of Kometz offering to heart, Mendy and Suri and other Mendys and other Suris and Fivals and Miriams and all these uniquely capable people who give testimony. Yeah. So I that's why I wanted to start the program with, to show that no matter how much chicanery and evil people can plot, one little fistful of mitzvahs not only gain atonement, it leads to redemption. So I'll let you take it from there. And by the way, we also have Michelle waiting on the line. So wait till about 10 o'clock to bring in. I believe she has a special story to share with us today about adopting, working with unique human beings.
Oh, great. Real quickly, I just want to finish up. Suri is this, and in a couple weeks also, there's a holiday coming up. What's the holiday?
It's my favorite holiday.
Favorite holiday, huh?
Seven Tones, I guess, and some poem.
Purim.
And
that's
it. That's it, I guess.
Yeah.
So
what are you going to be on Purim?
I'm going to be a real cabba, actually.
Real cabba girl, huh?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do what are we doing for Purim this year?
We're doing a barbecue outside, the big thing. So,
and
that's it.
Yeah, you're all invited. So we're making a real cowboy. Last year, our theme was things from Fez. You know, it was an Arab. We made what was it called? Moroccan. It was Moroccan. Sorry. So everybody had those Moroccan Fez hats. You know, and
right.
We ate from the what do they call those? Yeah, what's it called?
I don't know.
Yeah, anyhow. That, so we ate from the special meals, and it was really amazing. My wife is, becomes a gourmet cook all during the week, and then once a year she really shines on Purim, comes through with these theme meals. This year, the theme is going to be a cowboy, so she said it's my turn to do everything barbecue. So Suri's favorite barbecue is...
What?
What's your favorite thing to eat at a barbecue?
Burgers, I guess.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. And my favorite thing is hot dogs.
Yeah. Mindy loves hot dogs and Suri loves burgers. So there you go. Anyhow, thank you, Suri.
Thank you, Suri. Have a nice day.
So anyhow, let me just redo this. Hold on. Can you hold on 1 second? I just have to make a quick change here.
No problem.
In the
meantime,
it only take 2 seconds. I'm sorry if for any inconvenience or anything that's going to slow us down. But here we go. 1, 2, 3. 1. Going to make the switch right now. 2. Yes. Hello?
Yes? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay.
I hear you.
Okay. All right. So there you go. That more better?
It's a better connection now.
Huh?
It's a better connection, Eliezer.
Thank you. Okay. I knew it would be, but...
Hello? Oi. For some reason, we just lost Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Gotzik. Hopefully, he'll call right back in. In the meantime, I'd like to remind everyone that the month of Adar is truly propitious. Why is it? Because it was the month, and this is a special time because we have two Adars. We're now on the 27th of Adar, and it is a time for rededicating one's calling to live life in a joyous fashion. In fact, the Lubavitch Rebbe spoke about when we have two Adars, because this is a Hebrew lunar calendar leap year, which I believe occurs 7 times every 19 years, that we can really work on the what we call the Yevodah of being besimcha, of being in a rejoiceful state, to the point where we can nullify negative matters within our personal lives. And if we push all the right buttons spiritually, we can nullify negative matters that exist in the world. Think about it for a moment. When you are happy, you feel lighter. You feel less unencumbered by whatever issues you need to deal with in your personal life, in the life of your loved ones, in the life of your friends, in the life of your community. And also, you create a synergistic sparking off other people, that if at that moment when you're besimcha, that it causes them to realize, why not, if he's happy or she's happy, why can't I be happy? And I'm not talking about being kalas rosh, lightheaded or giddy or like, you know, unhealthy, euphoric in an unhealthy manner. I'm talking about that inner sense of happiness that you are alive, that you can hopefully emulate, that hopefully you can respirate properly, that hopefully that you can carry out your day's activities in a manner that you feel you put your best effort forward. And that's something very important. It's not just a state of mind, which of course we would advocate, it's a state of mind being joyous in the most existential point in time, or any point in this point in time, but how do you integrate it into your daily mundane activities? That means when you're getting up in the morning, you're washing your face, taking care of the more mundane aspects of your bodily needs, leaving your dwelling, walking to work, walking to school, going to meet a friend, going to your prayer sessions, going to your learning sessions, going to your job, interacting with your boss, just the appreciation that you can experience this. We're not talking about high-fluting spirituality, it's just the joy of being in the moment and appreciating that you can accomplish whatever you're trying to accomplish on a human being level. And we are still waiting for Robert Goldstock to call back in. I'll wait another 2 minutes, and then hopefully he will call back in. If he doesn't, we're going to bring in a guest who has a unique story to share with us, which I know that Robert Goldstock was happy to have her on today. And with that being said, there's one other lesson that we can learn in terms of being joyful. This is, if you realize it or not, if you were to read the book of Esther, Megillas Esther as we call it, you'll notice not one time is God's name mentioned, which is very interesting because, after all, the five books of Moses and what is known as the Tanakh, which starts from the book of Judges and extends into the prophet Samuel and the book of Kings and the book of Isaiah and the book of Ezekiel and the book of Jeremiah and the 12 minor prophets, the book of Ezra, the book of Daniel, and you know, all of these things mention God's name, but the book of Esther, Megillah says it doesn't mention the name of God. Meaning that even something which was prophetically written down, and Esther was the one, in the merit of this righteous woman who sacrificed her life for the sake of her people, as an inspiration for not just the Jewish people, but of humanity, where God's name is not mentioned, was specific to show us that we should be prepared to deal with any situation, even when there seems to be no hope and no apparent message or clear message that this is all coming from God. Now, we're going to say right now, from the perspective of Hashkacha Pratis, for whatever reason, Rabbi Goldstock cannot call back in. Hopefully he will. But in the meantime, I'm going to call in a person who is vital now to the international organization Heart to Heart American, and that will be, I believe, Shoshana Imhoff Maust. Shoshana.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. For whatever reason, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. For whatever reason, Eliezer, somehow he dropped the line. I hope everything's okay by him. We also have on the line your friend Michelle. Mm-hmm. I'd like to bring her on, I'm going to bring her on, and can you please introduce her? And now I've brought her in. Good morning,
okay.
Michelle.
Good morning.
Good morning. So Shoshana, please take it away. I'll be in the background peppering the conversation with a question here or there.
Well, you're making barbecue sauce for Purim, correct, Michael?
Yes.
Yes.
In honor of, sorry. Okay. Hi, everybody out there in listener land. I wanted to also say that, yes, Michelle is a very dear sister of mine, and she's in a study group that we do together on Sunday evenings, which is Righteous Jews and Righteous Gentiles Together. And last night we were speaking about this week's Parsha and how Moshe, it kind of ties into what you were talking about with Esther, the Megillah, and Purim. And we were discussing how Moshe took 7 days to put the Beit Mikdash up and bring it down. And then on the eighth day is when it stood permanently. And so in our lives, we, you know, there's mentions of this in the Gemara, that how we fall 7 times, but it's the tzaddik that gets back up. And this is reminiscent of the Mishkan and everything that is also at this time of year going on with Purim. And so, mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was noteworthy. And with Michelle, and she can speak for herself, so I'm not going to talk like there's a third person in the room, but some of the things that Michelle is on to discuss today are foster care, adoption with children that have special needs and how we find ourselves daily falling and how we get ourselves back up. And like you were talking about, how we take just a little bit to counter the hatred in the world and how we can do that. So, Michelle, you are on,
yes.
And I love you.
Shoshana Michelle, Eliezer's back on, so he'll also be part of the conversation. And again, I'm just going to be in the backdrop. So please continue.
Welcome back, Rabbi.
Hi, thank you. I don't know what happened. I was in the middle of talking. I don't know where I was when I fell out there. But I overheard you talking about the Moshe Rabbeinu was told to pick up the wall of the Mishkan.
Right.
And to practice 8 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And he had help each day, and on the final day he was told to pick up to lift it up on his own. And we learned from that, of course, that you start and the Eved Shtov, you know, God will finish it for you. But it's an interesting question that if he did it for 8 days, isn't there going to be a Shabbos in the middle there?
Yeah, that was a good question we had last night. We had that last night, but you know, you and I could talk about next 2 hours on that. Where's the Shabbat?
Simple,
where's the seven in this? Yeah.
Very simple answer to it, but mm-hmm. Okay. We'll save that for another program. real quickly, I just wanted to say that I don't know where I did you. Where did I drop out here? You know, in my. Discussion.
You had just switched over to another device to be tuned in, I believe.
Oh, and you never heard anything after that?
No.
Nope. You dropped
okay.
Suddenly.
So basically, I just wanted to say that I have something that I heard from Rabbi Lipster this week, that where he says that that no one cares what you know until they know that you care. And really such a true statement that, you know, everybody that is involved in today's program certainly can appreciate the essence of the meaning of that phrase. And also I just want to share one real quick thing, and then we'll get to Michelle and Shoshana, because I really want to hear what Michelle has to say, and I want to hear her story.
Mm-hmm.
And are you guys are still there?
I am here.
Okay. No, because last time I was going on and on, and I realized that after I finished, I said no, and no one was there. Anyhow, so so there's a fellow comes into shul one day, and he became extremely wealthy, drives up in a Rolls Royce, had just finished purchasing a big mansion, very religious guy, and he parks his Rolls Royce, and he comes into the shul, and he sits down, and you know, all the mispalim, the fellows that he davens with every day come over and say, what happened? How did you, you know, when did you strike it rich? And he says, you know, I was studying in the Zohar, that there's one word in davening that if you say that word with the real kavana, with the real proper intention, you'll become wealthy. So, of course, everyone in the shul is sitting there, you know, kind of mesmerized, silent, and finally somebody peeps up and says, no, what's the word? You know, what's the one word that you have to say with this, you know, pure intention, perfect, you know? He says, I don't know. So the point is, we have to say every word with that, with the proper intention. And if you do, and you say the one word that brings wealth, that'll bring wealth. And if you say the one word that's going to bring health, you'll get health. And if you're going to say the one word in davening with the right intention, it's going to bring you happiness. And that's what davening is all about. It's not just a matter of saying the words and getting it over with. It's a matter of having all of the proper intentions. And that's my word for the day. You know, no one cares what you know They just want to know that you care. Okay. Now, Shoshana.
Yes,
where
sir.
Is Michelle?
She's there.
I am here.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Ms. Ramsey?
I am fine, thank you.
What's up? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Thank
Baruch
God.
Hashem.
Yeah. So what's going on? Tell us the story.
Tell
Maybe
you
want to set up the story?
Michelle,
you
maybe
Michelle
you want
to... stories she wanted to share?
Yeah, and maybe Michelle, Noah, and Devin, et cetera, would be a good lead-in point.
What?
Well...
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
I started doing foster care many years ago. I had three small children of my own. I took in four older children. That led to adoption. I did foster care for 18 years, had many children over those years, and adopted two more children. I have a son that was born addicted to crack cocaine who has Asperger's and many other mental disabilities. I worked with many, many children over the years that had disabilities. I have an adopted brother who has Downs, and they're all quite capable.
Oh, yeah, and capable.
I've learned through the years of doing foster care that most of the children within that system are damaged, be it emotionally, mentally, physically. You know, they've been hurt and destroyed in... Things happen to them that sometimes are unimaginable to us, and they need love and support in Hashem to start their healing process.
With God's help, yeah. So how did you get started doing this?
I actually had a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-month-old children of my own. And I knew a woman who was addicted to drugs, and she was losing her children into the system and had asked me if I would take her children, who were 9, 8, 7, and 4. And I told her yes, and she went into rehab. And when she got out of rehab, she came and stayed with me and my then husband for a few weeks until they found a place to live. And about a month and a half later, I got a call from the state that she had relapsed and they were taking her children. And the children had asked the state to call me and ask me if I would take them back. And at that point, they were placed with me through the state. And I did some training, and my foster care license was rushed through quite quickly at that point, because there was no home to take all four of these children. They would have had to separate them and so on. The state gave a special allowance for me to keep them until my license went through. And at this point, my son is 30 and my daughters are 29, 28, and almost 26 from that sibling group. They never left me after that.
And what do they do? Maybe you could just share with us, you know, like what happened with their lives. Are they married? Do they have their own children?
My oldest son is 30. He's married and has 6 children. He was a Marine for 10 years and retired, and now he works at an organization here in Kalamazoo, Michigan, that helps teenagers who are not making good choices. That's been where his heart lies, is helping teenagers. He was a very troubled teen and many times just felt like if it weren't for the stability that was in his life, he would have ended up in prison. That's what he does.
Or even worse.
Yes. Yeah. My 29-year-old daughter, she has a daughter, and she just regular job functioning person. My 28-year-old has narcolepsy, and she does have a daughter. She does very well, but she can't, obviously, with narcolepsy, she can't hold a job or so on, but she still does a little bit of part-time and volunteer work in different agencies and the school system and so on. And my daughter, who's almost 26, is actually a graphic designer and works for a business called iDraw here in Kalamazoo, and she has four children.
Wow, that's a real sibling success story. And in every way, and you can definitely put the feather, all four feathers in your cap, plus all of their children, you know, which is about, I don't know, 12 more kids, right? Twelve more kids. You see?
In total, I have 9 children and 14 grandchildren.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about... And your children, what happened with your biological children?
My oldest daughter is 25. She is married and has 2 children. She works at a store here in town and does wonderfully with her children. My 23-year-old is a full-time student and still lives with me. She's in college right now. She wants to work with foster children and... She is studying psychology. She wants to get her doctorate. My 21-year-old son, who at the time when this all started was 6 months old, is also a student and works full-time doing construction. And then I have 2 youngest that are adopted. One is 14. The other one will be 14 next month. And they're both still students, still living at home.
Wow. Well, one thing's for sure, you haven't wasted your life. I mean, probably you haven't wasted the time that you've had in your life. You know, you spent it giving and sharing and making other people's lives worth living and worthwhile. And it's I know you're remarried. You married Brian, who is an amazing, amazing young man. Maybe you can share with us a little bit about how he accepts and deals with all of these other people in your life, and how that's worked out for you.
May I interrupt for just one moment?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Maybe there should be because Brian is exactly what the rabbi said. Maybe there should be a little bit development of Noah and Devin going into that.
Okay, I can talk about them a little bit. Devin is my son that has Asperger's and has some pretty severe learning disabilities. He's an awesome kid. He loves music and he's very talented in that area. My children, I have more African-American children than I have white children. So my family's very mixed with my 2 sons. One's black and one's white. My ex-husband and I got divorced about 3 years ago, and that's been very hard on my 2 little guys. So we've dealt with some behavior issues and so on. And with Brian has no children. We got married, and he assumed a very loving, kind role with my sons, showing them how to respect their mother and respect women and be appropriate and just to be a righteous person. He's very calm with them. He can talk to them. He tries very hard to mentor them and to show them what Hashem has to say about certain behaviors and the way to deal with certain issues. He's a remarkable man. I am so blessed that he's entered my life. I said a million times it had to be him. It couldn't have been anybody else.
He's got he has like a certain self-discipline because he's I noticed that he's a black belt in something.
Yes, he's a blue belt, one-stripe blue belt in jiu-jitsu. He's done that for 4 or 5 years now.
So he has that certain inner strength and inner discipline that he's required to be able to deal with these things, these issues.
He does. And he's got a very kind, gentle soul, and he deals with my children that way. And he's my adult children, because of my past marriage, and it was very abusive. And my children see this man, and they see the difference in him from their father, and they all have the utmost respect for him and the way that he treats me. And that's been very good for them, to see the difference between someone who's working hard to align themselves and someone who is just very into their own ego. So without saying or doing anything out of the way, just being himself, he has shown these things. And it's awesome. Like I said, I'm very, very blessed.
What a nice contrast for everybody.
Wow.
The thing is,
may I say something about Brian really quick? Just a short liner.
Sure.
My debate teacher tells me always, Shoshana, 25 words or less. Brian is an exceptional soul. And every Thursday night when they have the men's study group, he is like clockwork. He is on the phone. He is into the text. He is into everything that he can do to make not just his marriage better, but the family life better and his self better. Every Thursday
Beautiful.
Night for like two
Beautiful.
Hours. Yeah.
Michelle,
you know,
I have a quick question. You know, from all the activity you've described, you know, have you ever taken a vacation?
You're going to argue over Brian now.
Wait. Michelle, have you ever taken a vacation in your life? And where do you get the reserve of energy to be so actively involved in so many people's lives? I mean, I'm overwhelmed by the amount of activities you've been involved in, and I'm a pretty multitasking type of guy.
Well, she did in December.
what's really fun about my life is over those 18 years of foster care, I had 82 children through my home, some just for a weekend, some for years. Some came to me when they, you know, started high school, and they stayed with me till they aged out of the system. And most of these children still call me mom. My Facebook page on Mother's Day is just, it blows up. And I love it. And I stay very close to many of these kids. And they're married with children and successful. And they graduated from high school. The graduation rate for me is very high, which I'm really proud of that, because
wow.
that's so important. And it helped. It broke a lot of the cycle of these children of then they become abusers and they lose their children. And they, you know, they saw a different way of life than what they had known, and I like that. I knew what a righteous Gentile was, I had this great pull on my heart that there were certain things you did the right thing just because it was the right thing to do, not because you wanted somebody to look at you and go, oh wow. And I've had this, you know, even now I'm retired from doing foster care, but I still work in the system. I work with foster children every day in other people's homes, and I just enjoy it. It's near and dear to my heart, and it's very, very important.
Michelle,
the only vacation I've had without children in the last probably 20 years was going to visit her in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Oh,
I know.
It was
a good visit. I actually explained to Michelle. It was very interesting. I'm not making a joke here now. I'm being very serious. When they came in, it was the weekend of the 25th of December. Not a great time of the year for Jews. And we had some really incredibly great discussion. We had some really good food for those 4 days. We had other friends come in for Shabbat. We hosted Shabbat. It was amazing. It just was a really good community experience with righteous Jews and righteous Gentiles all together under one roof. It was amazing.
Beautiful.
Wow. And it was awesome.
You know, I just want to say real quickly that the human being, and Michelle, you are a classic example of this, is a vast storehouse of great wealth that's hidden within us all. And you have done the one thing that I think everyone listening will agree, and that is you have actualized your life. And you actualized it in a way that even today when you go and you continue what you're doing, it's really not work. It's just a labor of love. And this is a good time for us all to, you know, do a self-assessment and say, okay, look, you know, the heart's a big thing, you know, and it's beating within each one of us. And as long as we're in control of it the way it's supposed to be, look at what can be accomplished, you know. And you know, the enemy is out there. It's abuse and it's neglect and it's, you know, it's anger, it's frustration, it's all of those things. But the enemy can be overcome. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, I'm going to overcome it with love, and it's another thing to just fill your heart with love and actualize that love in a way that brings hope and promise of a future to so many 82 people, 82 human beings who came through Michelle's house. You know, amazing. I mean, I'm just I'm really absolutely floored by the. I've heard this from Michelle before. This is not new for me to hear, but on the other hand, hearing it again, it still has a overwhelming impact on me, and hopefully, you know, the dissonance that that this brings about, you know, makes us realize
that our
lives are indeed miraculous. Yes.
Hey. I have a question on that. Okay, so when we speak of, in fact, even going back to the Mishkan, and we're talking about Michelle and the children and everybody who came through her life. So when we're speaking about the Tzadikim, we would think that the more righteous somebody would be, that the more immune they might be to challenges. However, we learn the opposite is the way of life. The more we do what's right, the more we're challenged, even painfully, and the study gets back up. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, it actually, in this week's Parsha, nothing in the Torah is coincidental, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And everything is detailed and it's precise and it's intended to be the way it is. We also notice that the sedra of the parshas are all divided up into special parshas, and it's not because it's not necessary simply because it's too large of a mass of material to remain without divisions, but because every parsha contains its own distinct subject and point, and the same is true of the names of the parshas. So these are not taken randomly just because the first word was something in a parsha doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the name of the parsha, and it's because of this. That their names occur within the very first few words of the opening passage of each Torah. And this is like, the meaning of this comes from, there's a comment in the Zohar, that there were 53 parshas in the Torah, a fixed and permanent number, even in those years when there were two sedras, two parshas that are read together to fit the meaning of the Torah. Look, the Tanya also has 53 parshas in it, 53 sections.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between is this. Vayakel, which we read about Moshe, and he gathered the the Israelites, the Jews, together to communicate to them the command to build the sanctuary and make its vessels, and
mm-hmm.
how they set about fulfilling their instructions. Parshas Pekudei tells us that it tells us about the accounts that Moshe made of the voluntary offerings of the materials for the sanctuary, in gold, silver, copper, and so forth. I just want to say that, as I said earlier about thinking and knowing about people, this week's Parsha, or last week's Parsha, actually talks about Bezalel, who
mm-hmm.
was the artist, the artisan, who actually
mm-hmm.
Supervised the whole process of all of the artistic embellishments of the Mishkan. And it's interesting because in the Mishkan, it deals with so many different types of art. There was the art that involved weaving gold and silver together. There was the threads of various different materials. And they were all put together to hold up the curtains, various curtains. And they had to be interwoven with a particular type of a spike that was used at the bottom of the various panels, the cloth panels of the Mishkan, and they had to be put together in such a way that the actual pegs would hold the wall so that the wind would not any movement in the actual curtain. So these pegs that were actually put into the ground had to be woven and connected into the actual cloth itself, the material. And it's interesting because Chassidus comes and teaches us a very interesting thing, that first of all, for Bezalel to have been able to know all of the different types of art meant that he learned it, he had that natural ability. What he needed in order to develop the Mishkan properly was the ability to teach that the art, the lessons in the various format of the artistic requirements to put up the Mishkan, and that's where his brilliance came, and he inherited that from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Moses, our teacher, who actually showed him how to use his wisdom and knowledge and the willingness of the spirit of the way in which the work was done and accomplished. Now, when I say this, I say it in a certain way, in a loving way, that we all have teachers in our lives, and some of them know a lot of information, and they have a lot of information, but they're not able to properly give it over. And the teachers who really make the greatest impact and who the children learn from and adults learn from the most and the best are those who have this quality of being able to, you know, of people care what they have to think because they think the person actually cares. So the teacher has to show a willingness not only to share the information, the teacher, but he has to be able to give over the information in such a way that the student actually feels that the teacher cares. Not only has to be a brilliant teacher and understand the information, but that's not enough. It has to be done in a way that the person who's receiving it understands that they're accepting something that's absolutely given over in a way that the person feels that the teacher actually cares about them. So we need to remember that these are the essential themes of our learning. And and here is a lady who has dedicated her life to giving to people, and she did it in a way, Michelle did it in a way, that people understood that she cared. So they cared what she knew. They wanted to know what she knew because she cared, and she showed that.
Mm-hmm.
And continues to do so And if you want to find out just exactly how that happens, check her Facebook page on Mother's Day. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's for darn sure.
Yeah, me too.
It's gonna make
me too.
It's going to make me feel good, too.
Yeah,
sure,
and in Partners in Taurus, is the quote you just said, because I've got the magnet on my refrigerator. I've been in this program for years, and it says, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
There you go.
Yeah.
Eliezer and Michelle and Shoshana, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the program. I think I'd like to thank all of you for using one of your most valuable of resources, your blessed human time. Michelle, thank you for humbling me, and now I have no excuse to be, although, again, I'm a multitasking type of guy, now you've given me no excuse to be lazy anymore the rest of my life.
Well, you're welcome.
We get by with a little help from Hashem.
Yes. Eliezer, please alert our blessed listening audience how they can partner with you and with Suri and with Mendy, with uniquely capable human beings around the world, and you know how to invite them how to do that. So please do so.
Well, first of all, I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful week. And as we say in Israel, Yom Tov, have a good day. But and a week and a good week, Shavua Tov, as we say right after Shabbos. And as I was reminded by somebody on the bus today, perfectly good time to still continue saying Shabbat Shalom. So what I would like to wish everybody is that they should have a great week. And in order to improve that week, here's a way you can do it. First of all, you can send a donation for, we need the 2020 Club. We need 20 people to give $20. That's all there is to it. Certainly, maybe we'll be able to go on our cruise. And you can do it by going to Yachad, Y-A-C-H-A-D, Jerusalem, or Yachad Israel. And, just type in Gold Team Goldstock and make a donation there on that page. And then Suri and Mendy will see the donation was made. Yachad will get the message. No, that's not where they go.
TeamYachad.org.
TeamYachad.org. Okay, one more time. TeamYachad.org, TeamYachad.org. I'm sorry, my wife just let me know that I was way out of bounds here. TeamYachad.org, and you can just go there, click it on, and go to Team Goldstock and follow that in. So TeamYachad.org, then to Team Goldstock to make your donation, and they'll be on their way. The next thing is, and Suri is actually putting herself out and trying to get her friends, and she's really working hard. This is their project, and they're raising money. Second thing is, if you want to donate to Heart to Heart, we got some great news from the city of Jerusalem this week, and we have our property, and we're about to receive something even more amazing. I can't even reveal it until next week,
I can't make the site go public yet.
What? The site goes public this week, yes. But
when, because I'm like really bated breath here on that.
Okay, we will definitely.
1 minute to
out.
Go, Eliezer.
And the other
one
thing
minute
is, there's something else. Something else has to go on the site, and whatever. Anyhow,
okay.
A little peeking and tweaking. And Pinchas and I are going to be in the mayor's office either later this week or early next week, and we're going to finalize all of the arrangements with Nir Barkat, the mayor of Jerusalem, and Yaakov Halpern, our councilman.
Yay!
Here in our district. Then I would also like to say, anybody who would like to help make a donation to Heart to Heart in the American version, Heart to Heart American. .org, and just make a donation there on that page. And if you want to make a donation in to honor somebody or in memory of someone, or if you have a yurt site, it's a perfect opportunity to do so. And by the way, there is a baby. We just found out there's a baby with Down syndrome that's available. Anyone interested in adopting a little boy? From a Jewish family, contact us also. Next question is, if you'd like to contact us by mail, you can mail Heart to Heart, 383 Kingston Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11213. That's 383 Kingston Avenue, Suite 232, Brooklyn, New York, 11213. If you'd like to mail it to Jerusalem, mail something to Jerusalem, you can do so at Rehov Yohanan Ben Zakkai, B-E-N-Z-A-K-A-I, 18 over 1, Jerusalem 93186. If you'd like to call us, you can reach us at 052-869-9972. That's 052-869-9972. And if you'd like to reach Don Zusha Goodman in Brooklyn, New York, you can reach him at
347-613-4615, and we're going to end off with a little help from Hashem, blessed souls, from the Yeshiva Diaspora
Band. Thank you, Shoshana and Michelle. God bless you.
Both.
Aloha, Devar.
And Yoni, hey, say hi to Yoni for me, give him my love. Also, shout out to all of our good friends from around the world, and we will finish off with, go ahead, sorry.
And we'll finish off with the SB Yeshiva Ben with a little help from Hashem, because we need his help. Take care, everyone.
What would you do if I sang out to? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
If I sang out of tune, would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key, because I get by with a little help from Hashem. I get high with a little help from Hashem. Of course, gonna try with a little help from Hashem. So would you believe in a love at first sight? We try to make matches like that around here all the time. What do you see when you turn out the lights? Well, I heard you from a very nice family. I did buy a little help from my chef. I did have a little help from my chef. Gonna try a little help from my chef.
Oh, we need you.